Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So we've been talking on relationships, healthy ingredients for healthy relationships, and the reality is that we all have challenges in our relationships, some seasons more than others, and sometimes our relationships can become complicated, right? Or it's just me. And if it's not, it might be in the future. The reality is we're dealing with our humanity, and we're all humans, meaning that we all have issues. We see in part, we know in part. We were raised in a certain way. We have different attachments and so on. And so when we relate with other people, sometimes there's challenges. And so what we want is to step in what God has in store, because God desires us to have healthy relationships. I don't think he's expecting us to have perfect relationships, because it's impossible, because we're still human. But God wants us to walk in unity and harmony, and that we would be happy growing together, joyful of being together. And we just sang a song this morning, God Make Me New Wine, and it's a beautiful song. I was watching you sing, and I was singing. I'm afraid of that song to some degree, because it talks about the pressing and the squishing of the grapes, and it talks about us being the grapes. No, Lord, don't put me in the press. Don't get the juice out of me, right? And so we're singing this song, oh, make me new wine. But the reality is really, it talks about transformation. It talks about surrender. As we sang this song, really what we're saying, change me, Lord. Remove the stuff in my life that should not be there. And at the same time, it talks about being a vessel. And so we say, God, I want to be a vessel. But did you know that to be a vessel, it involves the squishing and the pressing of the grapes? And so as we want this, we realize it's not always easy. And to have healthy relationships, would you agree that it's not always easy? There's things that we got to work on. There's things that we have to address. It doesn't happen by itself. And I guess that was kind of the theme of this series, is to make us aware that if we want to have healthy relationship in our family, marriage, workplace, and friends, and community, is that it's going to cost me something, and it needs my involvement. Amen? All right, so if you have your Bible, take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Famous text of the Apostle Paul. He wrote this when he was in prison. There's so many awesome points. It could be a series of messages. As I was going through this, I was saying, man, there's so much to do. There's so much in these texts. And what we really want to do is to bring Jesus in our relationships. Remember in this, I didn't look it up, but I think I was a young pastor when they came out with the What Would Jesus Do bracelet. How many of you remember that? Okay, so maybe it's not that long ago. It seems like it was a long time ago. What would Jesus do? And so the reality, or what we dream to see and what we should aim for, it's to bring Jesus in our relationships. Amen? And so that's kind of a focus. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Remember that song we used to sing? Rejoice. I just got a blank here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Yeah. Awesome. We also sang it in French, and I won't sing it to you in French. But this is why I don't worship lead, or I used to do that many years ago, because I had to. I was the only one that was able or there. So God used me. But when I was able to give it away, I was so happy to delegate leading worship. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So there's an emphasis on finding our joy in him. And he says in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So beautiful, right? So rich. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can you say to your neighbor, think about such things? Can you do that? whatever you have learned, Paul is saying, whatever you've learned from me and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a focus on the peace, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But if I break that down, not taking too much time because I'm limited in time, we see here the call to joy beyond circumstances, and it's beyond happenings, that my joy should not be like a thermometer based on like a thermometer, but it should be more a thermostat than a thermometer. So we don't want to be up and down based on circumstances. And Paul, when he wrote that, he was in prison. So what he's saying is to focus on Jesus, that is my hope, that is the focus of my faith, and this is where I find love, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so we want to do this, and so we want to have inner joy. Amen? And how do you have inner joy? It's to focus on the author and the perfecter of our faith. Second thing that Paul talks about, it's to bring your requests to God in prayer. And this is how we deal with anxiety. It's turning our worries into prayer. And it's like, do you find this is the way it works for you? And that works for me. When I start to pray, worry comes. And I try to focus on God. But worry comes again. I said, no. And then worry and prayer is mixed together. And it's hard not to worry. Sometimes I find my time in prayer is prayer / worry. Would you agree? And so we don't want to be caught with worry. We want to bring our requests to God, knowing that he's the one that brings that peace, right? And he does. And he does. And I think what Paul is talking about here is that Paul is encouraging us to experience inner peace by abiding. Can you tell your neighbor, abiding? Abiding is you stay connected on a regular basis. You go to Father. You spend time in the closet. Again, it's not always easy, but really what happens when you do that, he grows on you. He influences you. He changes you from the inside. So it's very important to realize that when it comes to doing life, we need to abide on him. And John 15 is very clear that if we don't abide, we can't produce fruit. We can't do nothing without him. Amen? So Paul also talks about our thought life and encourages us to focus on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy. So he talks about the mind, the battle of the mind, and to keep our focuses on him. The fifth thing he talks about in this text, he says, he invites us to practice what we've learned. And this is too will bring us peace when we practice what we learn. So we don't want to be just hearers, amen? We want to be people that's a God by the strength of your Holy Spirit. I want to put into action your word. And that should be the desire and the longing of the Christian, to put into play what God has showed us. And then you have this verse 5 that at first, I remember reading this in the past, it was kind of out of place, I found. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. And I'd like to focus on that this morning. Can you tell your neighbor, let your gentleness be evident to all? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Like, why gentleness? Like, why not patience? Why not self-control like in the fruit of the Spirit? Why not love? Why gentleness? The word gentleness, epikeis, is very hard to translate. It's more than being soft-spoken, gentle. Like you can still be mean and being gentle, right? You can say to someone, oh, you're so stupid. But hey, I said it in a gentle way. Like, I'm gentle. I bring the truth in love, right? Oh, yeah. You're such an idiot. Oh, that's recorded. I got to be careful what I say here. But you're gentle about it. Like, for me, it's like, okay, you talk about prayer. You talk about having our thought captives in Christ. You talk about faith and all this. And then you say, let your gentleness be evident to all. What does it really say? And it talks way more than being soft-spoken or being gentle. It really talks about how we're called to treat others. And I'd like to give you this definition I found when I was preparing. Is a biblical scholar explained that the word refers to someone who doesn't demand their own rights, but instead chooses kindness and fairness, even when they have every reason to insist on justice. That's what the word means. It speaks of grace and patience and generosity of spirit. It's not just about sounding kind. It's about choosing mercy over retaliation, grace over judgment, and prioritizing relationship over being right. So it changes the approach, right? Let your gentleness be known or be evident to all. Then you say, oh, okay. It's more than just being gentle here. It talks about one thing. It's to have a big heart. Can you tell your neighbor that you want to have a big heart? I want to have a big heart. And the closest word we find to explain this Greek word is magnanimity. Not MAGA, by the way, okay? It's magnanimity. And how do you define this, or what does it mean? It really means having a big heart or having a big soul. It doesn't mean here that you're called to be this big teddy bear that is exclusive or passive and just gets run over and just, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say not to have any backbone or being weak or being afraid of conflict or letting people walk all over you like my grade nine teacher, my grade nine math teacher, where once we got her to cry, and then we knew that she would cry. So that was very good. But the reality is that, I got to be careful too, I'm recording here. It's more than being run over. It's not about that. It's about being intentional and going beyond feelings. It's to extend grace willingly. It's to extend grace willingly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 carry this meaning beyond just being gentle. Actually, there's five expressions. When I was studying this, there's five meaning to the word gentle. The first one is to have a big heart is in regard of generosity, where you're willing to give freely, to extend grace, and to help others with no strings attached. It's to go out of your way for people. You got a big heart. You want to help people. You're there. When Paul says, let your gentleness be known to all, he's talking about you're there and you're seeing needs. You care. You're not just doing life, going from A to B and do your own stuff. No. You realize that God is putting people in front of you. And then you take the time to see them. You take the time to value them. And you bless them. A believer, a family member, or an unbeliever, because he says to all. So that's kind of the first thought that we see from that word. And I like Luke chapter 6, verse 38 from the Message version. It says, the Message Bible. Give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely giving back with bonus and blessing. And I like the end of it. It says, giving, not getting is the way. Giving, not getting is the way. Generosity begets generosity. But I like the thought about giving is the way. It's not getting the way. And it's the first thought about gentleness in this text talks about the willingness to give freely. You just care. You're blessing people. Financially and time and help, whatever it might be, you want to be a blessing. And so that's kind of the first thought. The second thought of having a big heart when it comes to gentleness is rising above offenses, not being easily provoked or holding grudges. It's not being oversensitive and taking offense easily. You got a big heart, so you let things go. Ecclesiastes gives us this picture in chapter 7, verse 21. Don't take everything that people say to heart. Okay? Or you may hear your own servant cursing you. Your conscience knows that you have cursed others many times. What the author is saying here is that people don't always mean what they say. Don't go to the bank with everything that people say. Bring it to God. Let things go. Don't write a book. Don't build a story around it. Bring it to God. And for sure, we need to be responsible from what comes out of our mouth. But it's to show grace, to be able to forgive, right? The third meaning of this word talks about choosing forgiveness over retaliation. choosing mercy even when justice should be demanded. And so when Paul is talking to the church, he says, let your gentleness be known to it to be evident to all, he's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about not living life with the motive of retaliation, right? You may have all the reasons in the world to choose justice, but you choose mercy and grace and forgiveness. And it's something you choose because I believe that God wants to have a big heart. Being raised Catholic, I remember having this picture in our house of, it's called Sacré Cœur, the Holy Heart of Jesus. And the picture is, you have a picture of Jesus and you have a big heart, a heart that is bigger, like disproportion to the body. And the reason for this is that the thought was that Jesus had a big heart. And Jesus has this huge heart. And we'll talk about that when it comes to the cross. So when Paul is referring or he's talking to the church when it comes to relationship, he says, people have a big heart. Don't have a small heart. Don't have a blocked heart, but have a big heart, right? And so it's important for us to walk in forgiveness and not aim at retaliation. And it's not easy, right? How many of you've been offended in the last week? Or the last month, or the last year. Like, it's a question of time that we get offended. And so we don't want to choose retaliation. We got to choose forgiveness. Why? Because God is in us, and our call is to have a big heart. Amen? And having a big heart is also treating others with dignity, even when they don't deserve it. It's choosing to bless. One of the verse that is so powerful when it comes to that is that I think it's so cool to remind ourselves of that when we arrive at a crossword, or let's say we get offended and we get cut off or whatever it might be, where things are like, and you want to choke someone, then you think about this verse, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. So I am called to bless, not to curse. I'm called to want the best for the person in front of me. I like what Luke chapter 6:31 from the Message Bible that says, here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. That's not an easy thing, right? Look at your relationship. You do it, what you want people to do to you, do it to them. That is having a big heart. And the last meaning when it comes to that word, it's having a big heart or big soul is approaching situation, relationship with readiness to forgive or to reconcile. Is that what your aim, what you want to see, it's forgiveness and reconciliation. It's to build a bridge. And it's not always easy. Would you agree? But the thing is, we're called to grow in relationship. And if we want to have healthy relationship, I think we need to have this ingredient. We need to have a big heart. We need to have a big heart. And look what it says in verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be evident to everyone. Can you say to your neighbor, evident? Like, evident is a big word. Really. Gentleness is not just an internal attitude. It must be seen and experienced by others in our words, action, and responses. Like, so gentleness is called to be evident. So it should be seen. Right? My heart and your heart, or let's rephrase this, my big heart and your big heart is called to be seen. People should be able to say to us about us when we are in the marketplace, when we're doing life in our home, yeah, Claude has a big heart. That's the goal that we want. We want to see gentleness. We want to see this gentle heart that means having a big heart, and it should be evident. Should be evident. And so when I hear myself say, be evident, then I think about the song, make me, like the song we sang, like make me, bring me in the squishing and the grape that gives new wine. Because it's only through the work of God in my life And to see God work through my life does that. But I need to realize this is what it's important when it comes to healthy relationship. And if we want to make a difference, it has to be evident, right? Look at what John chapter 13, verse 35 says. By this all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So that is very active. So people will know that we are his disciple based on the love that we have for one another. And that cannot be only an internal attitude. Would you agree? Oh, well, yeah. I love, I forgive, I care, but you don't do nothing. So that if you don't do anything for reconciliation, if you don't have care and you don't show love, well, no. It's about evidence. The evidence that it's happening in you, it's going through you, it's transpiring through you. But I understand it's a journey. I believe at the same time we need inner healing and we need to see God touch our hearts. And we gotta abide in him. And as we abide in him, there is this transformation that happens in our hearts, and that's what we want to see. But when Paul says this, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. To all. And we find Jesus saying, love your enemies. You know, loving my granddaughter is amazing. Right? It's amazing. So easy. You know? But loving people that aren't hard to love, for me, it's not easy, right? And so I gotta realize that what God wants to bring me to, it's the place of having a big heart. And to have a big heart is, I believe, is makes a big difference in my relationships. Like, we find example of the Bible, in the Bible, of people that had big hearts. Think about Joseph. The story of Joseph with his brother, instead of punishing them for selling him into slavery, forgave them and provided for them. Put your shoes or sandal a moment in the sandals of Joseph, where he's this kid, get dreams of God using him, and his brothers are jealous. And his brothers are jealous to the point of selling him as a slave, lying to dad about it, and being a slave that was brought to Egypt. And not only that, now he's bought as a thing, and now he is a slave in the house of Potiphar, and he wants to be faithful in the house of Potiphar, he wants to serve God, and then he gets accused wrongly, he is thrown into the prison. Imagine being in the prison. If I have a chance to see my brother again, can't wait, right? And so God brings him second in command. And now he's in the place of authority. Now his brothers are coming back from Canaan, and they're into Egypt and they need help. What do you do? What do you do? Vengeance time? Or will you open your heart up and love on them? You see, he had a big heart. You think about David, where he was running away from the king. Imagine this, just take this little pause, stop for a moment, where he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king. God, you have a call upon my life. Wow, I'm gonna be the next king. And Samuel was looking for him. You know the story, right? Where he was talking to Eli, the father. He says, you must have another son. Oh yeah, I've got this younger son. He's taking care of the sheep. Go and get him. So he was not even on the map of the father and the brothers, and he was brought forward, and he gets anointed with oil to be the next king. Come on. Woohoo! Next king. Me. Right? And he goes through the breaking and the pressing, and he became new wine. And we find some of his best songs in the Psalms when he was hunted by Saul. Period of 14 years-ish. Like, imagine that you got the king, that you killed Goliath, and you really took the place of the king when you killed Goliath, and now that king wants your head, and you're running away. And three times God gave, or King Saul was available, or there was a possible death, he could have killed him. Ha, I'm going to be the king now. And he doesn't. Big heart. He's got a big heart. And God saw that. It was part of the testing. Look at your journey. Look at where sometimes you are. You have this tension of having a big heart or having a small heart. I look at my journey. I remember, and I don't have time with that. I remember one test the Lord gave me, or what I went through. I was about 22 years old. And it was about, are you going to honor? And it was a big test. It was to see if I was going to have a big heart or having a small heart. And I know if I would have taken the path of having a small heart, I would have went through a detour, and God would have worked on me so that I would develop a big heart in that situation. I wish I would be able to say to you, I've always had a big heart. But at that moment, God really helped me to expand my heart and make a difference. I look at the woman that was caught in adultery. Jesus is there, and people want to throw rocks at him, at her, and he says, well, if the first one to have not sinned, throw a first rock. And you see, Jesus was able to show grace and truth. He says to her, go and sin no more. He didn't say to her, like, live the way you want, it doesn't really matter. No, he says, go. He recognized it was a sin, but he said, go and sin no more. Instead of walking this road of legalism and this road of condemnation, he showed grace, and all the others were not able to throw the stone. And the finest example that you find in Scripture is Jesus on the cross, when he had all the right to condemn those that killed him, but he instead insisted, Father, forgive them. That's a big heart. When we look at this and we stop for a moment, when it comes to a relationship or marriage or kids or sibling and so on, when we stop and meditate on the fact that Jesus was on the wood, cursed by the law, and he was between heaven and earth, a crown on his head, and all his blood was out of his body, basically, had to pull himself up to breathe, and he's saying, able to say, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Finding an excuse for them. Like, it's unreal. That is the ultimate big heart. And I'm saying, God, give me that heart. Like, when it comes to, like, when Paul is saying, let your gentleness be known to all, he's saying, have a big heart. Big heart. And there's dangers to block our heart in our vows, making promises to herself. Never again will I show love. Never again I will call. Never again, never again. Don't do that. You're blocking your heart. Don't close your heart and choose to have a small heart. When you choose not to let go and you choose to keep and feed offenses, keeping tab, looking for faults, keeping score, keeping records of wrong, you're missing the boat. We get in trouble when we assume people's intentions, read between the lines and jump to conclusion without giving space for grace. We got to bring God into it. And my final point-ish is, why are we called to walk with a big heart? Why? Well, it says in verse 5, the Lord is near. The reason why you have a gentle heart, are you, and you want it to be evident, it's because the Lord is near. And there's two meanings to that. It talks about the Lord is near in presence, that he's with us, that he's going to help us, he's going to lead us, he's never forsaked us. But at the same time, he watches over us and he sees us. And at the same time, it talks about his return to live in the light of eternity. That's why we're called to have a big heart, because we're accountable to him. Not because things are easy, not because people are lovable or are worthy or love or they're great. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's because of what the Lord is asking us. Have a big heart. And actually, if you go back to Philippians chapter 4, it talks about peace. You bring your requests to God, there's peace. Also, if you put his word into practice according to the text I read, there's peace. But I believe that true peace comes also when we release offenses, choose mercy, and rise above bitterness. And there's some of you, you're going before God, and you say, God, give me peace. And you don't have peace. And the reason that you might not have peace is because of that. You haven't let go. Having a big heart positions us to receive God's peace. If you keep things inside and you let things fester in your heart, it's going to be extremely hard to have peace. The key for peace is to be at peace. Does that make sense? The key for peace, that's deep. Take note of this. The key for peace is to be at peace. Wow. right? I just thought about that right now. That's pretty cool. It's not in my notes. So cool. Conclusion. Will I live with a small heart or a big heart? Will I live with a big heart showing grace and mercy? A small heart holds on to offenses. A big heart releases them. A small heart keeps score, but a big heart forgives. A small heart demands justice, but a big heart shows grace. What kind of heart do I want, right? We can pray this morning and say, God, enlarge my heart. And there's an area of your life maybe where you have a small heart. Like, just take a moment, look at your relationships. Where do you have a small heart? Come on, right? Say, God, enlarge my heart this morning. Enlarge my heart. You might have a small heart in your marriage and with your kids, with your siblings, with your coworker, whatever. God, enlarge my heart. And if you're here this morning and you're not walking with Jesus, you're disconnected with Jesus, let me tell you this. Jesus has this huge heart for you. That when he was on the cross, he opened his arms up. And the reason why he did this is because of his heart for me and you. So don't miss out, or don't miss on the fact that God wants to be in your life. Like we see, how many of you want to have Jesus in your life? But really the call is, did you know that God wants to be in your life? So don't say no to him. Give your life to him. If you're condemned by sin, guilt, and condemnation, realize that Jesus came for you because of his huge heart. Don't resist. Don't leave here without surrendering your heart. Repent of your sin. Ask him in your life. And maybe you're here this morning in your relationships. You need to have a divine touch. Well, ask him. I invite you to stand. And I know that we don't have a lot of time, but God is not limited by time. He's here right now. I believe signs and wonders accompany his word. So Father, for all of those that are living in guilt, condemnation, or those that are not following you like they know they should, I just pray that there would be a surrender right now, that they would surrender to you and ask you to come in. You say very clear in your word that if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive. You forgive us, Lord. This is who you are. You have this huge heart for us. Or maybe you're here this morning and when it comes to your relationship, you have a small heart. You have a hurt heart, a deceived heart, a disillusioned heart, and you're not able to do what the Apostle Paul said, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I invite you to say, God, reach me. Heal my heart so I can love, so I can have a big heart. Extend my heart, Lord, in aspects of my relationships. Father, I just pray that you would go beyond this time right now and you would do a work of freedom in our hearts this morning, that we would be a people that would be free and a people that is able to live out Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.